I want to talk to you about accelerating the processes of God in your behalf. Accelerating time. Remember last week I shared that scripture, and maybe we could put that up, Amos 9:13. There is a prophetic promise given in the Old Testament that's a reality in the New Testament if we would just have eyes to see it and ears to hear and move into it and apprehend it. Now, throughout biblical history, there were forerunners who, even before their time, grabbed something in their generation that was not due their generation. It was due for another generation. But they went ahead and grabbed it and used it for their behalf. Okay, are we doing all right? I mean, there's nothing here? Amos 9 and 13. Amos, come on. Okay, here it is. Behold, the days come. Okay, speaking of right now, says the Lord. It's the Lord. He said this. The plowman shall overtake the reaper, and the treader of grapes him that soweth seed, and the mountains shall drop sweet wine, and all the hills shall melt. That sounds good. That's a good promise. And it's just filled with prophetic significance. And so we're going to take a look at how hunger and desperation can pull into your day what was reserved for another day. How desperation and hunger, how taking the promises of God and not being content to just say, oh, that's nice, but saying, I want to own this thing and I want to make it apply to my circumstance and my situation, where you can pull into your day something that was meant for another day. Case in point, we sang that today. One day every knee shall bow, one day every tongue shall confess. We know that when Jesus comes again, that's going to happen. That's that day. But I want to pull into that day and make it happen now so that my family, which is mostly unsaved, will bow their knee and confess Jesus as Lord. I want to pull. There's some folks that believe that there's a kingdom that's coming. All right? That Jesus is going to come again bodily. Some people believe this. And then when he does, he's going to set up heaven on earth, and there'll be no sickness, there'll be no disease. Everyone's going to get saved, or they're not going to be. You know what I mean? So it's just going to happen, all right? And they're looking towards that day. But I don't want to wait that long. I'm impatient. I want to pull that day into this day. I want to make it happen now. And I want to show you scripturally that that's really okay with God. He's excited when people change the way things are. So many scriptures. Oh, I got to give you this. First of all, let's go to some promises. Luke 12:32. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom of God. Notice he says the kingdom of God. Not the salvation. We've heard the message of salvation. And what that is to ensure people get to heaven. The church has been very good at preaching them the kingdom of salvation. But the kingdom message is the kingdom of our God. It's literally heaven coming to earth. And notice it says the message of the kingdom. It's your Father's good pleasure, not just to give you salvation, but give you the kingdom. It's not just to get you to heaven, but get heaven to earth. To make it happen here, right now. That you grab hold of that and make it come to pass in your time, in your situation. All right, I mean, this is a promise. Let's look at another one. John 16:17. Jesus is saying, I have many things that I want to share with you. He's speaking to a group. He's not just speaking to one person. He's speaking to a group, a corporate group. And he's saying, I have many things I want to share with you, but you just don't have the capacity to bear it right now. Okay, but he says, howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show things to come. Now, many of us are not wanting to know too much about what the future is, but let's not get so far out here. I'm talking about a situation right in the here and now, where you have a radiator or something that's not working, and you need an answer. Okay? Now, the future looks bleak. If you don't get that thing fixed, you're going to freeze. All right? So, you know, you've got a problem. Now, if you're in a situation like I've been, I've had certain people come in and in our heating system at our house, they've taken us one step. One person came in and took us this far. And I was very happy. And I'm a very loyal kind of person. If I get somebody, I stick with them. But God intervened as I cried out to him and said, "It's not working like it should. What do I do, God?" And when I went to call that person, it didn't work out and whatever. And he spoke to me. He says, "Try this one." So I tried that one. And boy, he'd take it to the next level. And I think, oh, this is pretty good. So I'm locked in with this guy. You know, we're creatures of rut. But God literally just broke that thing. You know how we love change, you know? And he said, "No, go to this one." And I went to that one, and he took me right home. And I was like, it's finally fixed after like 300,000 years. It's fixed, you know? I mean, it's like the whole thing. I mean, and it was like a process of God. I mean, sometimes he'll speak to me and show me, and other times he'll say, "Go to this one and get the job done." But I'm talking about, you know, your future, you know, like your situations when you're in the here and now, when you're dealing with problems. Does anybody have problems? Okay? Challenges, things. You know, why does God do this? Because he wants to keep us from becoming Christian atheists. A Christian atheist is somebody who forgets that they're a Christian, and so when they have a problem, instead of going to God and asking him help, they try to figure it out on their own. And the more self-sufficient you are, the harder it is to go to God, because you just didn't work on the gift he's given you. But he has ways of frustrating that too and getting your attention, because he wants us to go to God in everything. And pull into the future that which is reserved for us, and make it happen in our present. I don't know if that's... I'll make this more clear in a moment. Just another promise that is so incredible. And it doesn't start out as a promise. It starts out as a rebuke. In 1 Corinthians 3:3, here Paul is talking to the Corinthian church, which is known for its carnality. But you know what? They had a desire for the gifts of God. And Paul commended them for that. They had a desire for spiritual encounter with the living God. They were a charismatic church. Bless their hearts. But they did do some excesses. But you would too if you didn't have a Bible. And you know, there were all kinds of things going on, false teachings and whatever. And there was a big organizational mess that's going on. Paul comes in and starts clearing it up. But there were divisions and going on like that. But he says one thing in verse 3. He says, "For ye are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, you are not carnal and walk as men." In other words, he says, "You know what? You know what your problem is? You're just acting like humans. You're just acting like a human being. Don't you realize that the supernatural God lives inside of you? He has the answer to every problem, every situation, and you're just walking around trying to figure this thing out on your own. That's why you've got all these problems. So why don't you just take it to God? Let him speak to you. Let him just sort it all out." He says, you're not just mere men. And then he goes on in verse 21. "Therefore, let no man glory in men," in just being human. "For all things are yours." Hold on, Paul. You said what? He said, "Under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, thus saith the Lord, all things are yours." What does that mean? All things are yours. All right, well, explain, please. "Therefore, let no man glory in men, for all things are yours." Semicolon, something like that. Or little guy. Whether Paul or Apollos, well, let me put it this way, whether it be John Wimber, whether it be, give me somebody else, Randy Clark, whether it be Bill Johnson, or the world, or life, or death, or things present, or things to come, all, oh yeah, large print edition, here we go, all are yours. Praise God. Wow. And look at that, there's another apostrophe. What's that all about? Let's go on to the next one. and ye are Christ's, and Christ is God's. All right. Let's go back to that other one. This is huge, folks. And what God wants to do is He wants to throw these things in your way and bother you muchly. And then He'll create situations that border on impossibilities, and He'll say, remember that scripture? Why don't you take that and make it happen in your experience? It's in the day-to-day that we develop our faith to the point where we can start moving mountains for nations. But you don't start that way. You just start a little bit at a time. And so, you notice there it doesn't say anything about the past. It says things present or things to come. The past is in Christ. It's done, okay? We're not to live there. We're not to go there. The regrets and everything else are just put away. We're concerned about things to come and how they'll affect our present. But what we're interested in is there's a principle here where God can accelerate time. The plowman can overtake the reaper in your life, in your circumstances. This year I planted all kinds of things, as you know. And it took all summer, even my tomatoes, they took forever. And I just harvested like a buco amount of green ones. When is it ever going to happen that these things will finally turn red? You know what I mean? It's like, it just takes so long to grow things sometimes, you know? The weather conditions and whatever, soil and wind and rain and all this sort of thing. But, you know, wouldn't it be nice if you could have something like what happens in Israel right now? They used to have one harvest a year. But now, God is blessing that nation where they have a harvest every month. And that says something about the book of Revelation, doesn't it? Where the tree of life has fruits for the nations 12 months out of the year. Every month, a harvest. Can you imagine? Every week you go and you pick those big tomatoes outside. You know, no winter. You see, this is heaven. Okay, is what? Do you know you can bring heaven to earth? You can make it. You can pull on the future, make it happen in the present. We're going to get to this scripturally, but just hold on to this thought. It's challenging. But this promise speaks of things as being ours. That means things that are, you know, perhaps set aside for the future. I mean, when we get to heaven, we know it's going to be all ours. But this is saying it can happen sooner. It can happen in your present. So that challenges me to reach into my future and grab hold. All right, you're looking at me like, oh, all right. John 12 and 38. This is such a cool example. This is Mary, mother of Jesus, and she's at a wedding. And so is Jesus. Right? And there's a problem. And guess who orchestrated that problem? Whoa. Thank you. It's John 2. Sorry. That's for something else. And we'll get to that one. That's a good scripture. John 2 and 1. Let's just read the wedding. And the third day there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage. When they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus said unto him, they have no wine. And Jesus said unto her, woman, what do I have to do with you? Mine hour is not yet come. It wasn't time for Jesus to reveal himself. And Mama said, okay, no problem. We'll just do without. Problem was, is that Mama had received a prophecy of who this young man was standing by her. Do you know who living inside of you? Power of God to move the mountains? We even sang it. So that's going into your subconscious. When you sing things, it goes into the other side of your brain. That's the spiritual side. So it gets in there in the practical and the spiritual. One day, ka-clink, it all goes on. I say, whoa! Connection here. She had been hiding this word in her heart that this is the Messiah, the King of Glory. He can do anything. Nothing is too difficult for him. So what does she say? Next verse. She says to the servants, whatever he says to you, do it. Jesus, at that moment, having spoken, what do I have to do with you? He's basically saying, it's not my time. The Father has just spoken through him. Remember, he doesn't do anything without what the Father says and what he sees him doing. Okay, so he's right in the timeline of God. And Mary says, whatever he says, just let him do it. And she walks away. I bet Jesus went back to the Father and said, and the Father said, change your plans. What was earmarked for the future is now going to happen right now. Do you catch this? Come on, this is good. This is good preaching. Yes, yes, hallelujah. We're catching this. But there's more. I just love examples. And when you start seeing this, it's all over Scripture. Let's look at another story. Now, you like stories? I like stories. Going to the next page. All right, John 4 and 39. This is cool. Jesus was sent to the sheep of the lost house of Israel, right? Lost sheep of the house of Israel, right? He wasn't sent to the Gentiles. It wasn't his time. Paul was going to do that, remember? It wasn't time yet. So Jesus is happening through this little town called Samaria. And in verse 39... we can put that, John 4 and 39. He meets a woman by the well, and he begins to speak words of knowledge over her, so much that she gets so excited, she goes and tells everybody in the town, this guy's told me all that I've done, is he not the Christ? And they said, we're going to see for ourselves. And they came, and they believed on him for the saying of the woman which testified, he told me all that I ever did. Next verse. So when the Samaritans were coming to him, they besought him that he would tarry them, and he abode 2 days. Lord, change of plans. What was meant for the future was brought to the present because of desperation, because of hunger. Are you catching this? Now, as Christians, we can get kind of jaded, where we get in cruise control and we just get on with the whole thing about surviving. We're always hung up about surviving. But you know, we're to live on the other side of the comma. Jesus Christ has come to give us life, comma, and life abundantly. The abundant life is when you get past the Christian atheist realm and you start getting into the, hey, this is an opportunity to bring the future into the present. Hallelujah. I can have all wisdom, all knowledge. In heaven, I'm going to have all wisdom and knowledge. And you know what? I'm going to have all. I'm going to have this now. Because that promises all things are mine. So you come to. There, true story. I heard this from a reputable source, Bill Johnson, in his book. He talks about this guy who was a traveling musician. I know the pain. He could barely keep his family fit. He was a traveling Christian musician, as a matter of fact. And on the side, he loved bow hunting. He just loved shooting bows and arrows. But he was frustrated with his current equipment. So he asked the Lord, he said, Lord, could you show me how to build a better bow? And he went about his situation. I think it was just a couple days later, in the night, Lord woke him up, and he had this picture in front of him, an angel holding a picture of a bow that was sketched. It was just sketched out. And he's like, and the wife wakes up. She says, honey, you all right? He says, I think I'm having a vision. Give me a piece of paper, you know, before it goes. And he scribbles it down. That guy now has the most prosperous company, and he's the richest guy. I mean, you know, he has the most expensive bows, and he has the greatest amount of sales. And, you know, it's all because, you know, God took the future and had it come into the presence because of a cry. Lord, I'm out serving you, and my family's hungering, and it's not happening. I might be going the wrong direction. Lord, would you show me how to make a better bow? See what I'm saying? I mean, I'm talking about the here and now and the practical. This is where I'm at. This is what excites me. But this is real stuff, and the Lord's saying, you know, as you meet me in every problem, in every situation that's before you, and call out to me, I will answer, and all things are yours. And as a result, you're going to have an encounter, and your faith is going to build. I mean, I'm just so amazed at how the Lord's been working with me over the years in this regard. There was a season where he would give me direct things and I would go and do it. I'm now in a season where the Lord's saying, get this one, get that one. And he's choosing and showing me people who are going to get it done. Get it done, people who get it done and make it happen. And Elam, I need to see you afterwards. Praise God. Hallelujah. How many appreciate Elam? Come on. Yes. This tape's going around the world. That's Elam King of Elam King Construction. He's the man. Praise the Lord. He's good. All right. And we have a lot of good people. I'll tell you, we're so blessed. Praise God. You know the story of the Syrophoenician woman? Same thing. She comes to Jesus. She says, you know, Lord, my daughter is grievously vexed. You want the you know the story, right? You don't know the story. Sure you do. Luke 6 and 2. Uh-oh, sorry. No, we don't go there. No. Mark 7 and 26. Okay, this woman was a Syrophoenician, which means she was not an Israeli. She was a Gentile. She comes to the Lord and she asks for her daughter. And Jesus said, it's not proper for me to give the bread of Israel to the dogs of the Gentiles. He's saying, it's not time yet. Cool it, lady. It's not on the script. It's like the telemarketer that calls you up, you know, and he's got a script in front of him. And then you shoot something that gets him off the script. Oh, is that so much fun? You know, he's, oh, why are you calling me? Well, you know, and he's advertising siding. The house just burnt down. How did you know? And the guy say, oh, and by now he's off the script, and you've heard this, you know, the whole thing. That's fun. Well, anyhow, you know, Jesus saying, okay, Father, you know, what do I do? Her faith is just not letting me go. Her hunger is not letting me go. Her desperation is not letting me go. What do I do? The Father cries from heaven, change the plan. And happened right then. Isn't that cool? Now, let me tell you of my man, David. David blew out the whole timeline. I don't think we really recognize the significance of this man and what he did. He literally took the ceremonial worship of Moses and blew that whole thing out of the water, put a tent up with the Ark of the Covenant, opened it up so everybody could see it, and nobody died after he finally got it there. I mean, how did this guy get away with it? Well, it's in the little things. One day, he was hungry. And that's the key, people. Are you hungry? Is anybody hungry here? Is anybody thirsty? Is anybody desperate? Well, David was all of that. He was being chased by Saul, and he came to this little town called Nob. And there were some priests there, and he was hungry. And he said, what do you have for me? And they said, all we have is the showbread, which is the priests, and is holy, and you can't touch it. And he said, give it to me, because I'm a hungry. And he took that, and he didn't get struck down dead. Now, we know of another fellow by the name of Uzziah, who sought to break through into the priestly realm. He was a king. He sought to be the prophet and the priest too. And he went in and he got struck with leprosy. But David, this character, just goes, takes the showbread and runs off and gets off scot-free. What's the deal? Well, he had something called a relationship. This gives tremendous import to those people who soak. who rest, who wait on God, who worship God. You know, sometimes you feel like an idiot, you know, and sometimes I feel like a broken record saying, you know, offer up to Him the sacrifice of praise continually. Why? Because it opens up a heavenly connection so that you hear the Lord speak to you when He says, change direction. I'm going to give you the future right now. I'm going to answer. And what happens is that relationship builds your faith to the point where you actually believe it and walk in it and take it for yourself. Well, David was such that he just knew. He just knew that he could take the showbread. And this is so powerful. Jesus refers to this in Luke 6 and 2. I hope you get the prophetic significance of this. This is the plowman overtaking the reaper. I mean, ever read this and say, huh? But I bet you the Pharisees said, huh? But look at this. Ever look at Scripture and go, huh? This is one of those. But you're going to see the key here. And certain of the Pharisees said unto them, why do you think that which is not lawful to do on the Sabbath days? Oh, good. Let's move on. And Jesus answering them said, have you not read so much as this, what David did when himself was ahungered and they which were with him? How he went into the house of God and to take and eat the showbread. Look at that showbread. Isn't that great? I love King James. And gave also to them. Oh, here's something. And gave also to them that were with him, which is not lawful to eat, but for the priests alone. Go on. And he said unto them, that the Son of Man is also Lord of the Sabbath. Whoa. You know, we read this and we go like, huh? What does that have to do with being Lord of the Sabbath? Everything. Because what Jesus is saying is that there's a day coming when there will be a rest for the people of God. When I go to the cross and die, there's going to be access and there's going to be a rest. And it's not going to mean a day or a place. It's going to be a position of their heart. Any time of day, any hour of day. He was speaking to them of a future event that was going to happen right then. And there were certain people who were going to facilitate that, which are the Pharisees, and bring him to that place. And they didn't know this. This is just all clueless. But, I mean, do you see how this connects? He's speaking about a man who took the present and took the future and brought it into the present. And literally demonstrated that he could live as a New Testament believer in an Old Testament covenant. David was prophet, priest, and king. Guess what you are? Kings and priests and a prophetic people. Yeah. Better covenant. But David was not content to say this is for a future time. I want it now! And he did it. And because of that, God calls him a man after his own heart. You want to be a man after God's own heart? Yeah. Believe the promises and go after them. In all the challenges that are before you, these are opportunities to take this promise and make it happen. Now, you share with me how you get ideas, and God just shows you things. And I'm sure that happens for some of you. But man, this thing is just, we're just touching the surface on this thing. You know what I'm saying? I mean, the ability for us to see our vision enlarged. And here's something that Jesus spoke of, a condition that could happen to us if we're not careful. And we go back to that scripture in John 12 and 18, or 38. John 12 and 38. Okay. Well, he's getting that. Oh. That saying of Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled, which he spake. Lord, who hath believed our report? And to whom hath the arm of the Lord been revealed? Go on. Therefore they could not believe, because that Isaiah saith again. He hath blinded their eyes and hardened their heart, that they should not see with their eyes, nor understand with their heart, and be converted, and I should heal them. How many of you realize it's the desire of the Lord to heal? There are many people convinced that it's not for today. And as a result, their eyes are blinded. Their ears are hardened. Do you know we've had people, you know, take issue with us trying to move into the miraculous? But it's like, hey, I can only go where He's telling us to go. Because, you know, I don't want to live in some past move where, you know, he's put blinders on people because, you know, he's moved on. I want to be, you know, up to what he's saying and doing in the earth today. And I want to believe for miracles. Even if I don't see them happen the first time I pray for them, I'm going to keep pressing in. Because I know someday, we're all going to be in heaven and it's all going to be done. But I also know there's a challenge that we can take the future and bring it into the present if we'll just be hungry enough and persistent enough. And so we're going to keep at it, and we're going to keep at it, and we're going to keep at it until we please the Lord so much that He releases the blessing. And that's what it's all about in this hour. And that's what we're believing for Israel. You know, God said that that nation will not be removed from its borders. And let the nations of Iran and whatever thunder, but the Lord will laugh. And He's going to turn the whole thing around some way, somehow. We know someday there's going to be a final conflict. God bless you. But the point of it all is right now, we can walk in just incredible peace. The stock market can crash. I mean, the economy can go down. I mean, things can just blow up around us. And yet we can walk in this incredible peace. Why? Because in heaven, there's a day when I will walk in complete righteousness, complete joy, and complete peace in the Holy Ghost. But I can have that right now. And so I'm pulling that down. And I can tell you, this year particularly has been the most incredible year of just peace. I mean, things just, you know, they don't get to me like they used to. It's like there's a measure of grace that's been released in peace. And you know what, folks? Your internal reality affects your external reality. What you carry will come out and become part of your experience. You carry strife in your heart, it's going to be in your circumstances. I have met people who are like a storm center. You meet them and there's like just, you know, you just feel, you know, it's like, whoa, what just happened? You know, bless God. And then the Lord says, pray for that one. And, you know, it takes free men to free men. And if you've got that, you can release that. But the point of it all is that, you know, your internal reality has to come to a place where it's like heaven on earth. And that's possible. Because, you see, I saw a promise that all things are mine. I can have a peace that passes understanding. I can have a joy that just the world didn't give and can't take away. You know what I'm saying? I can intercede and carry the woes of the world and yet break through into joy inexpressible. I mean, this thing's fun. It really is. I mean, serving the Lord's fun. I really enjoy it. And it's peaceful, it's restful, it's full of energy and excitement. I mean, it's just all this thing, and it carries a joy inexpressible. And man, that's super. And plus, it's relevant. I mean, it just meets you right in your circumstance, and it's line upon line, precept upon precept. So, take the promises, make them yours. But take each situation that comes, not as a crisis, as an opportunity for you to get a hold of God in a new, fresh way. And we are constantly being transformed and changed in the way we think, even as we just ride this thing out. And it's no longer stressful. It's no longer upheavaling, if that's such a word. You know what I mean? A catharsis, you know what I mean? It's just like, oh, cool. Change of direction. Just like Jesus saying, what do I do now? Change of direction. And He delights in that. He's walking on the water. And He acted as though He would go on. And the disciples said, come into the boat. So He came. Another time He's walking by the inn. And the disciples didn't even know who He was. And they constrained Him to come. And He came. You see? We can take the future and make it happen in the present. And God delights in that. So Father, I just pray right now that You give us eyes to see and ears to hear. That Lord, we do not harden our heart because we just look at things as mere men and women and are just confined to the natural realm. Father, help us to understand who lives within us. Every answer to every problem. Lord, You said all things are ours, both present and future. The world, the nations. And Lord, we even lift up Israel again. And we say, Father, give us Israel as a nation under God. Father, I pray that there be one day when You come and every eye shall see and every knee shall bow. And they shall look upon him whom they pierced. But Lord, even now, bring the future into the present. We pray that millions get saved in that nation, that you would save the cabinet, that the new prime minister would come in, and you would save him, Father. Father, we just pray for salvations, that that nation become a Christian nation, a believing nation. Father, a nation under God. So we just believe that nothing's too difficult for you. And you said all things are ours, even the world. So on that authority, we say amen. And everyone said amen. God bless you guys. See you tonight.